We continue our series on unlikely heroes of the Bible. And as we have heard, today our hero is Amos. Amos is one of the minor prophets, so called because of the shortness of his written revelation. But his background could also be considered minor. Tekoa is north of Hebron, which you may have heard of, and south of Bethlehem and Jerusalem, which you probably have also heard of. But Amos's hometown of Israel, of Tekoa, was not one of the major cities of Israel. He does not seem to have come from a high-status family. Amos describes his occupations as a shepherd and as someone who took care of sycamore fig trees. I guess that means he may have been in part a tree surgeon and in part a fruit farmer. He may or may not have had a wife and children, brothers, sisters, or cousins. He remains obscure in that respect. A minor prophet, both in terms of the length of his recorded words and his background. However, his message was anything but minor. We do know that, plucked from this relative obscurity, Amos obeyed God's call. As we have seen in our passage, and if you read the rest of the book of Amos, he railed against the injustices and lack of integrity that God saw in both the kingdoms of Israel and Judah and the surrounding nations. Scattered throughout Amos's message are towns, places, and people whose names are almost certainly familiar to us from our media outlets. Damascus, Gaza, Tyre, Jerusalem, Egypt, the Nile, Nazarites and Israelites, places in the world where we today would probably say, as in Amos's time, the need for God's justice is just as pressing. We come into contact with justice and fairness in many areas of life. Almost every children's series I remember watching with our daughter had an uplifting or a fair and just message at its core, though perhaps not always immediately obvious to younger viewers. For the more mature among us, reading or watching Rumple of the Bailey on the TV probably brought us slightly closer to the courts, but from the comfort of our living rooms. But probably for most of us, the closest we might come to the English justice system would be doing jury service and sitting in the jury box. If, as I have, you have been on jury service, as well as lots of waiting around, which is very boring and tedious, so if you're called, take a book. When in court on the jury box, I'm sure you saw defence and prosecution lawyers seeking to establish the facts and prove a case so that justice could be done. It's the jury's task to help deliver justice by giving a guilty or not guilty verdict. I think too, in Rumple, that justice ended up being done, though not always in the way that the reader or the viewer might have expected. But the right or fair outcome always came about on CBeebies. In his book, Amos is in some cases vitriolic about those who failed to provide justice to the poor and oppressed around 750 years before Jesus was born. He berates the people of Israel for failing to live up to their privileged position as God's chosen people, for their complacency, for their misplaced priorities, and for ignoring the poor. So what does our passage say to us today? It started Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. Amos was bringing home to the kingdom of Israel the strength of God's hatred of evil and his love of justice. Earlier in the service, setting the scene with Juliet and Simon and Tim helped us think about fairness and sharing. Do we share God's heart for the poor, the widow, the orphan? I wonder what things in God's world today make us sit up and say, that's not fair. Or possibly, that's unjust. There's a chance now here for me to ask to consider examples of events, situations, and circumstances that cause a that's not fair reaction. So, what makes you react, that's not fair?
Rape.
Okay, yes, definitely a distinctly unfair.
Racism.
Rape.
We've got access to food in abundance.
Access to food in abundance. Those who don't have it are starving. Yes, thank you.
Access to education, particularly for women in Afghanistan.
Access to women's education, particularly Afghanistan.
Something not fair when we're good to someone, only good to you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for those thoughts. Have we grown complacent? Have other priorities taken over from our love for God? Do we ignore those in need? What can we do to follow God's call? Amos also challenged the people of Israel in the second part of our reading. In verses 23 and 24, he says, "Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." Here, it seems that the people were doing all the right things, that is, singing songs as part of their worship, as we have been doing today. However, God, through Amos, was challenging them because their actions did not live up to their expressions of worship. This too may speak to us. Is our worship heartfelt and God-centered? Or are we complacent? Or do we go through the motions for outward reward? A challenge for each of us to consider for ourselves. However, Amos did not leave his readers just with God's censure. In verse 24, he gives the beautiful image of justice rolling on like a river, and righteousness, or perhaps today we might say integrity or honesty, rolling on as a never-failing stream. An evocative image of the dynamism and power of the justice that our God wants to see in his world. This abundance anticipates the words of Jesus. Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. God's lavish, inexhaustible nature is something we should cherish and be thankful for. As well as the challenge of Amos, today I would like to leave you also remembering and inspired by the image of our God's never-failing stream of justice flowing out into the world and our part in that. Amen.